Fred Meissner is on the call.
Hey there, Fred. Jeff in cloudy St. Paul.
Jeff, how are you? It's cloudy here in Atlanta as well, and rather cool.
Huh. Well, it's 45 here, so we're in the beginnings of our fall season.
Yeah, it's 75 here, or will be today, which is the beginning of our fall season.
I guess it's kind of the Northern Hemisphere, everybody's fall season, right?
I would say yes.
And the market's declining, so that's in a fall season, too.
Right, exactly.
The question morning,
is,
Fred.
Who's going to be the fall guy? Good morning. How are you?
Hey, it's Rich Reynolds up in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Rich. How are you doing?
Just great. Just great. 75 degrees here, too.
Good.
And rain.
Here, too, in Destin, Florida. It's cloudy also.
Yeah.
Morning, Fred. Morning, Rich.
Good morning,
hey, Albert.
Good morning, Rich. It is 10:15, so if you guys want to go on mute, we will start the call in about 20, 30 seconds. Okay, we will start the conference call even as we speak. Good morning, everybody. This is Fred Meissner, and welcome to the Fred Report Technical Market Call for September 22nd, 2011. First of all, we are seeing a lot of what we thought we would see when we were forecasting a move to new lows and to new closing lows on the SPY back during this beginning of this correction in August. We wanted to see basically a decline on really nice high emotion with increasing bearish sentiment and everyone going hoorah, hoorah, hoorah. And we are seeing that, actually. I will say a couple of things, however. The first one is some of the technical indicators look an awful lot better than we thought they would look when we were in this position. For example, my accumulation model on the S&P, there's no way it can go down and make a new low when if the S&P goes down and makes a new closing low in price. It's just not possible to do unless we have something like 10 times the highest volume we've ever had in the S&P. So I just don't think that's going to happen. That's set. Stochastics have come down and look like they're coming down, you know, set as well. Moving average systems, even if we close here today, will actually still be positive on the daily. And so one of the reasons we want to add some money here, especially for people who have an overabundance of cash. And again, in talking to some of the advisors that are clients yesterday, people are way overbuilt in cash here. And there's some decent-looking sectors and some decent-looking stocks overall. So I would use this part of the decline to get yourself down to at least a normal risk profile. Obviously, the market is acting worse in some respects than people wanted to see, and I will say that the fundamentals here with the European banking situation could trump the technicals here, but yeah, one of the things to note is that you know, you got to take a little bit of risk, and this is probably a decent place to do it. I still think the spider can close at 109 to 108 possibly, but if you're way overburdened in cash and it doesn't, it's probably a decent idea to add some cash in here. Obviously, we have to see how the day ends up. Obviously, we have to see how we do tomorrow, this is, again, a place to add a little bit of cash. In terms of the bonds, the TLT is up all the way to where it was in, you know, 2008, 2009 on those spike highs. We mentioned in Monday's piece we could see a fuller rally, and obviously we are seeing a rally. The question is it a fuller rally or not? And that we don't know. We'll have to go all the way back down to say that it is a fuller rally. But what I would say is I would make sure that you have an exit strategy for bonds if you have become overweight in bonds due to this move, and or take a few off in here and let's see what happens. We certainly acknowledge the fact that bonds have gone further than we thought they would go. They have, and our accumulation models have improved a bit, but certainly not enough to support bonds staying in the 120, 122 area. Looking at corporates, LQD still looks fine. It's obviously not following this move in Treasuries. This is a flight to safety type of move, and those moves are often very quickly reversed, by the way, as we said, but we're very comfortable with LQD, and one of the things that we are looking at is the possibility of adding HYG to portfolios in the 84 to 85 to 83 area, somewhere in here. These high-yield bonds are probably going to be a decent buy, and if you've got someone who's speculative, who's looking for yield, preferreds, all this sort of stuff may be decent in here. I mean, it's certainly worth, you know, especially if you have none and no risk profile, I think adding a little bit of money. I guess the question is, if this thing breaks down through 108 on the S&P, on the Spider rather, you know, how bad can it get? Obviously, we don't know. If the European banking system really does blow up, there are some issues there with how they inject cash. It's not easy for the European Union to inject cash into banks. It has to be done, I think, on a country-by-country basis. Do check with your strategy department to make sure you're aware of what the implications of that are. But in the absence of complete European bank failure, commodities, all this stuff, probably look like a buy. In terms of gold, GLD has looked for a while like it would come down to test 167. We got close. 167 to 164 would be a very interesting area to add some of the GLD in to portfolios, and we would consider doing that. Also, don't overlook some of the gold mining stocks, which are, I think, trading a little bit better and are down here. Those should outperform regular stocks, especially on the downside, but possibly even on the upside for the next few weeks and possibly into the end of the year. We could see a real rally in those. We've had some questions on grains. Obviously, Moo and JJG are starting to act in accordance with their seasonal functionality, i.e., they're experiencing dips. Usually when this starts to happen, you want to pick these things up in November. Gold as well, by the way. October, November is usually a good time to buy gold. And last but not least, the dollar is rallying finally, and UUP, we want to see that get through 22.50. If it doesn't, this may be a peak on it. And 133 looks like it was hit on FXE this morning. Very close. Our target has been 132 to 133. So if you've got anyone doing any sort of hedging strategies or looking to buy euros, I could certainly start doing that in here. And obviously, again, if the euro blows up completely, that's a really bad idea. And notice that I say start and not throw all your money in. But you know, it looks again like we're seeing a little bit of trouble on the dollar going through 22.50 on UUP, and the euro is down where we thought it would go. Just have to see if it can get worse, and obviously it can. With that, I'm going to pass the call over to Jeff Garbaz for a minute, and then we'll circle back and do some stocks.
Hey, Fred, how are you?
Fine, Jeff. How are you?
Good, good. I got a couple questions, and then I'll try and let you do some stocks, and I'm sure we'll have a lot of questions from people as well. So the first question is, if you look at most country ETFs around the world, whether you're looking at Europe or you're looking at Asia, I would say the majority of them, and I'm talking like probably 70% of them, have taken out their July 2010 lows. Does that mean that we, meaning U.S. Various indices, need to go back to those levels as well?
I don't think it does, but obviously we certainly could. But it looks like people are viewing the U.S. as a sort of a flight to safety area. And even, well, some of the European clients that I've talked to have indicated they've been buying U.S. stocks and selling euros for a while. So the answer to that question is I don't think so, but if things get really bad, yes, that could certainly happen.
Okay.
By the way, before I forget, Jeff, I forgot we did have a question on the transports. They could make new closing lows here today. They are leading the market down, and obviously we do want to see some strength in the transports here. But given that, it doesn't look as terrible as we thought it would look. We're going to write about that this weekend. Sorry, Jeff, your next question.
Actually, let me ask you a question. CSX had a really bad day yesterday, and where would we look for support in that particular name?
I've been looking for support in CSX anywhere from, 18 to 17. We're there. FedEx is the other interesting one in that sector because it's also it's broken really through those 2010 lows. But if it were to pull back above 69 today and then head back up above 72, that stock may actually be completely repaired.
Okay. Going back to the first question where we were looking at Europe versus the U.S., what are support levels now on both EWG and EWQ, which are EWG is Germany and EWQ is France, because they are the two, kind of pillars of stability besides some of the Norwegian countries?
Well, we got to think that 18 is the really key area on EWG, and if it really breaks on EWG, the next support is 15 or so. But I don't consider 1758 to be a huge break of 18 yet. It all depends on how we close on that over the next few days. EWQ has looked a little bit worse. Its main support is probably 19, and it has looked worse for a while. And again, the question is, can we close in this area and move back above 19 relatively soon? That you just don't know, but if it breaks down and stays below this 19 area, my guess on EWQ, which is not one of our favorites, is probably all the way back to the 09 lows at 15. And my favorite European play is still EWD, which is Sweden.
Okay. Can you also look at the chart of EPV, which is an inverse 2x ETF on just Europe as a whole? How does that look chart-wise to you, and what level does that have to get through to, think that it's going to, kind of keep going?
Want to see that through 72.
Okay.
It's a decent-looking chart as far as the upside goes, but it's a sort of a rounding bottom. I tend not to like these pro shares because they have a tendency to reset fairly often. So.
Okay. Next question for you is obviously with Operation Twist, they're going to go to the long end of the curve, and TLT, as you mentioned, is kind of in no man's land. But it seems that if that's going to be the case, then the shorter term has the risk of coming back up. So what are your thoughts just looking at the charts of IEF and SHY? IEF is the 1 to 3 year ETF, and SHY is the 7 to 10 year ETF.
On IEF, obviously up, but a lot of resistance. It's through its major resistance. So, and again, data almost on this doesn't go back that far for me. But this is actually, this is probably 110 to 115 is a measuring implication on this, unless it takes out 102.50, in which case back to 100 and then back below. This is actually, if I were in TLT, I'd consider putting some of the money in this, actually, and getting rid of TLT.
Okay.
And what's the other one?
SHY.
SHY.
That's starting to come off a little more.
Yeah, that one actually probably 84.50. Below that, I would start to get nervous. I'm not expecting that for a while, I wouldn't think.
Okay. Great. Let's see. The only other question for you is, one of the things that contributed to today's weakness was slower growth coming out of China. So just your comments on the chart of FXI, and I also know that you like to look at small cap in China too.
Yeah, China is still looking much worse overall than than we thought it was, as are all the BRIC countries. It looks like there really is slowing there, and that could continue for a while. HAO is the ETF for small caps. It's much weaker than large caps are, and that's a big concern. So for us, it's avoid China. But in any event, the emerging market stuff hasn't looked as good for a while, and my guess is speculative money is going to be going into U.S. mid-cap and small-cap stocks rather than this area for a while. So if I had speculative money, even if the U.S. economy slows, I'd still probably want to put that money into small and mid-cap U.S. rather than emerging markets for now.
Okay, excellent. Hey, you actually got me thinking about one more thing, which I was looking at, which I meant to ask you about. So today, if we look at the S&P and the Dow and the Russell 2000, the Russell 2000 is doing a lot better on a relative basis. It's down 2.01 right now versus the Dow being down 2.81. Any thoughts on that?
Well, one of the things that we were thinking could happen here at the end of the down move was some of the really strong sectors and strong stocks take a shot down, and that very well could be happening here. They take the best down last. I would use this as an opportunity to add the stock positions like IBM, which is down, you know, quite a good bit in just 2 days, and realize that, you know, obviously if it doesn't work, nothing's going to work, but I would use this as an attempt to buy some of those stocks. I noticed, for example, Apple came all the way down and tested the breakout this morning. It's actually trading on its high for the day. So when we get into the stocks, we'll talk about that a little bit.
Okay. You know, Apple's a great one to talk about, so that's actually a good point to transition over to you for going to stocks. I'd love your thoughts on Apple, where we would need to see capitulation on Apple going all the way back to kind of let us know that potentially the low is in.
Okay. We're going to do the stocks a little bit out of order. We'll do the techs first, since we were just talking about Apple and it's up. You know, much below 390 on Apple would tell me that the stock could move all the way back to, say, 340 to 350, but we're not expecting that. We actually like the looks of tech here, and that's where we would be adding a little bit of money, and I think that's what's going on here. If Apple has an up day today, even a small up close, that would be a sign that this down move is close to the end of this whole correction. IBM, obviously, below 170 right now. I would love to see the stock back at 165 if we could. Low today, 167.50. If that stock gets back above 172.50, 173, that could actually be a very powerful name here also, and that's one I would add to. We've got Cisco as a number of questions. Cisco hit resistance at 16.50 to 17. It's coming down. It's 15 is the main support. It's at 15.44. You know, obviously below 15, it could trade down and fill some of that gap in the 14 to 14.50 area. We kind of look for that. It's a little bit of a weaker name, but it's trading okay. Hewlett is actually trading on its highs for the day after trading down near its lows. The 22 area is support. If it breaks that 18, the one thing I would say about Hewlett is I have a rule that if a stock starts making new lows in August or later, that it's vulnerable to tax selling. So that may not be the best and idea to play on the upside. And then we've got Yahoo and Intel. Yahoo has been a stock that we haven't liked for a while. We still don't like it, but if anything good is going to happen with this name, now that they're switching CEOs around and there's some corporate finance stuff going on, now's the time. And that's why we took it off our stocks that we don't like area, just because this may actually start to do something on the upside. Intel, it's a nice tech name. We would be adding to it here. And I just want to mention something, guys. Every time Intel's gone below $20 and I bought the blasted stock, I've won. I think the stock can get to 23, 24 on the upside. I do like the name and think it can do well. The other name we've had some questions on, Oracle, which is in stocks that we like. Great earnings yesterday. The stock was way up. It's obviously opened down. Oracle could be a very nice name as well. At certain certainly, again, if you are trying to expand your risk profile just a little tiny weeny bit, the techs are the way I would do it, and Oracle would be one of the ways. We've had some questions on Morgan Stanley, which moved to new lows yesterday. We're going to talk about the financials. And guys, I just don't see any reason to buy some of these financials here unless you have to have a sector allocation to them. I will point out, I think, something we mentioned in one of the reports. My accumulation model on Bank of America has made new all-time lows. Now, does that mean the stock has to go back to $2 to $3? No, it does not. But I would say that when the accumulation model is going down, you generally don't get gigantic rallies in the stock. We've seen that in Bank of America, for example, where it rallied up on some news, the Warren Buffett news, and it's come all the way back down quickly. So all these financials are in the same boat. Given that, though, Morgan Stanley's got some support in the 11 to 12 area, it came close to it today. It's probably going to bounce along that. I'd feel much more comfortable about Morgan Stanley above 15. In terms of Bank of America, again, the stock is likely going to languish. It is holding support in the 6 area. Until this thing gets back above 7 or so, I just don't think it's going to be a really super-duper hot trader here. I would avoid it. We've had some good questions on Wells Fargo since it has been trading better. If anyone wants to short a bank, Wells is probably it. I'm not sure that that's what I would do, mind you. But Wells is probably, if the banking stuff gets really out of control, got 15-16 written all over it. BB&T, local regional Southern Bank, trading way above the August lows here. It's got a decent yield. If I were going to buy a bank, and I'm prejudiced because I use this bank, but and I've had great service from this bank, but if I were going to buy a bank, this is probably the banking stock that I would buy right now. It's trading extremely well. J.P. Morgan, the last bank we're going to take a quick look at. Also, big new lows on J.P. Morgan. This stock, again, is probably going to languish into the end of the year. Unless it gets back above 32, 33, it's a complete avoid for me. The two strongest financials on our list are American Express, which has got a lot of support in the 45, 46 area and is holding it, and also DFS, Discover Financial Services, which is, you know, has hit all-time highs since 09, and is actually holding support, is actually up on the day. So if I were going in to buy financials, it would be Discover and American Express. We've already talked about FedEx and CSX, but just for completeness, we'll mention again. FedEx back above 72, very interesting and holding on. CSX, see how it's doing now. It's actually up on the day. We'd feel much more comfortable on that again above 1980 to 20, but these are starting to hold on. And again, the market may very well be starting to hold on here as well. We talked to some people about buying some calls in here. Again, the premiums on calls, this is a great time to be writing calls, by the way. I'm not sure I'd be a big call buyer here, but the market is acting in many ways as we thought, but a little bit better than we thought. So with that, I'll turn the call open to questions here. Questions?
KO?
KO. It's down. There's support in the 65-66 area. The problem with KO is if the euro gets much weaker, this stock is going to just get pounded. This is a proxy stock a lot of people use for the euros. And so for me, even though it's got a lot of support in the 65-66 area, I'm not sure I would buy it until I saw the euro stabilize, but it looks decent.
Thank you.
Hi, Fred. It's Joseph.
Joseph, how are you this morning?
Good, good. I got a couple, EWRM and WBK.
EWRM came right down and tested support. I'm going to take a look at the weekly chart on all of these. Joseph, the only thing on this is, I kind of prefer the cap-weighted MDY, but I would be looking to buy this anywhere from here to 25 very slowly. I like the mid-caps, especially if we get through some of these economic fears in the next 2 weeks. What was your second one, Joseph?
And the second was WBK.
WBK. Again, that it looks like a bank. Above 96, 97, and then 102, you're probably okay. It's trading better than some banks, but it's probably in a void, actually. I don't want to buy these banks.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions?
DBO, Fred.
DBO. You know, this actually is probably a buy-in here down to 2250, and DBO has been outperforming USO overall. This is, for those of you who aren't aware of our writings on this, the DBO is equally weighted across 12 months of oil contracts, so you don't get the contango issues that you get with USO. So I would definitely be looking at DBO and trying to buy it. And the other one, obviously, to keep looking at, UHN heating oil is looking much better. And if there's a equally weighted heating oil, that would be another place to go. Energy's often down into October, but it's still one of our favorite sectors, and we'd be using seasonal weakness into late October to buy energy for the end of the year.
And then how about semiconductors, Fred?
You know, those are actually, the SMH in particular is holding 27 area support. I would add money to this right away. It's fairly heavily weighted towards Intel, but above 3150, it could go and make new highs in a year-end rally. And tech looks just great to me.
Okay. Thank you.
More questions?
Hey, Fred, it's Roy.
Roy, how are you?
Okay, a couple questions. One, just on American Express, it seems to me that if the U.S. was in bigger trouble, I mean, it just seems like this is more of a spillover. I mean, for Amex to be, you know, normally that's a leader if we are heading to recession and the stock is holding up well. I wonder if you could just comment on that. I mean, it's always been,
yes.
You know.
Yes, Roy, that's a good question, which actually I want to address and forgot to address earlier in the call. Roy's comment about are we going back into a recession? I would say, again, I don't predict recessions or not, but I would say this crisis that we're seeing is not our crisis. It's a European crisis. The American banks and CDS spreads and things like that look much better than the European ones. The question is, if a couple of the big European banks fail and there's no Fed to inject liquidity, if this is a big solvency issue, there's no easy way for Europe to fix it. That's the big question. And, you know, part of that question is, how much of that is factored in here? How much of that does the market understand? My guess is, since this European news has been going on for some time, that it's not as big a surprise to the market as people think. And for that reason, I would say it's probably not going to spill over, and I would actually be buying American Express in here if I needed a financial weighting. Again, I'd probably be buying tech if I didn't need a financial weighting. But looking at a stock like Amex, the only way I get really nervous about this is below 41. I hope I answered your question there, Roy.
And then on the SPY today, what are you kind of looking for a close, which would be positive?
If we could close SPY above 115, that would be extremely positive. Actually, Roy, I'm kind of hoping that we have an end-of-day sell-off and we close the SPY below 112.29, let's say. That would be perfect and ideal if we could do that, because that would be the new closing low that would give us the setup that we want to have, frankly. And obviously we don't know if we're going to get a new closing low or not until we get it, but I can tell you that I'm looking at a lot of the indicators to see whether or not we're going to get that. And honestly, when I was looking at stuff yesterday, a lot of stuff technically looks much better here than I thought it would. So a close above 115 on the spider would probably be an occasion to add a little bit more money. We've been expecting down for the last 2 weeks of September. Not sure we're going to get that. We'd like to see us down into early October. and choppy and correct the last bit of overbought on the really long-term stuff like the monthly and weeklies. But we're seeing enough that we may not get that. It's going to be hard to say. That's why I said yesterday as we were going down that I wanted to add some money and get back to a normal risk profile. You know, if this is the bottom, I want to buy a little bit here, especially for advisors that, you know, have money to spare.
Okay, and then if you could just comment on two comments that you made. One on the moving averages, they seem to be below, and you said that they were still above. And then your first comments in the beginning.
On the daily moving averages on the Spider, I'm still just barely below if you take today's close into account, if we closed right here. But it's not a new big trending move to the downside here. The problem is the weekly moving averages are going to have a much harder time crossing because they are very far apart. Usually when you get something like that and they are far apart, you have some choppiness, so they move closer together. One way we could get that would be, say, to bottom the S&P here short term, head for 123, 124, 125, then come back down into this area one more time over the next few weeks. But what I have seen, you know, an example of that would be back when we were coming down in May, June, the moving averages kept moving further apart. We rallied up. We made a double top. We did come down, just not all the way, in August, September, and then they crossed easily, and we started to go up. But with the stochastics and step down here, I do expect more chop and issues, but it actually, in many ways, does look a little bit better than I would have thought that it did.
Okay, thanks, Fred.
And guys, the other thing to watch, by the way, let's watch these transports. Obviously, their moving averages are very far apart. The closing low on IYT for the move so far has been 76.26. We are below that now, so we're starting to get some of that closing low effect on the transports. The weekly stochastic on them is down in the 17s. If that starts moving up to 21.22, that may be a sign that this is over. We don't have to get new closing lows on all indexes, although I'd like to see it on the S&P.
Fred, CDRL, SDRL.
Opinion on Google?
I'm sorry, one guy asked a question on something that began with an S as in Sam first. Would someone please have that?
CDRL, please.
CDRL. SDRL, right?
Yes.
Albert, it's trading better than the market for sure, between 28 and 30. This is one I could add a little bit to. The only problem I have with this is it is a relatively new issue. We don't know how it's going to act if something really goes wrong here. But in the absence of that, I like energy. I prefer bigger energy, but the Cedra looks okay.
CF.
It's one of those agricultural ones.
Right.
It's actually moved down to support in the 140 area and is trying to hold. Honestly, Albert, even though it's in support, these agriculturals are probably an avoid until late October. This could chop around for a bit. I mean, if you didn't have any, you wanted to start a position, this is probably a decent place to do it, but you're probably going to get a chance to buy this at 140 a little later on, too.
Thank you.
Okay. Next question. Sorry to interrupt the other person.
Google.
You know, I'd love to get Google back to 500. This is, again, one of those techs I'd put a little money in today. I'd think about adding more at 500, but if you don't have any and you want to put a little bit in, I would not dissuade you. And main resistance above 560, this thing can go all the way back to 600 to 620.
Fred, how about Baker Hughes, BHI?
BHI. Again, nice oil, trading a little worse in some respects. On the weekly chart, your main support on BHI is right down near today's lows. Probably want to see anywhere from 49 to 50 would be the first level of support. And again, we like energy. This is one that could do well. Don't forget about Rowan RDC, which is trading, I think, very well and is also in that sort of services area.
Okay, thanks. And how about Caterpillar, too?
C-A-T. Industrials still look terrible. A lot of support on Caterpillar in the 70 area. Not sure, frankly, it's not a stock I would buy, put it that way.
Okay.
Nor Deer. Other questions?
Fred, is there any place you would try to get into Netflix for a bounce?
You know, I hate to say it, but right here, but I don't like Netflix. I haven't liked it for some time because I'm not sure what their real competitive advantage is. But this 129 area is support, and if you wanted to try to play it for a bounce, now is the time. But it doesn't look so good to me, frankly.
Hey, Fred, how about DuPont?
I like DuPont. It's got a lot of support in the 40 to 39 area. It's quite near it, and it's got a great yield. You may see this down along with the agricultural stuff, but I'd be comfortable adding some DuPont here and thinking about trying to get some more at 39 if we can have a real wipeout. And again, you know, tech is my favorite sector here. That's where I would be adding, you know, a little bit of cash, and let's see how we do. But DuPont in here to 39, I would add it slow.
Thanks.
Hey, Fred, it's Haynes.
Haynes, how are you?
I am well. Could you have a quick look at Hanson's Natural, H-A-N-S?
H-A-N-S. I just drank one of their lemon lime sodas yesterday. I really love Hanson's stuff. Below 84, I'd be thinking it could get to 80, but it's been a flyer, and it's actually trading pretty well. Haynes,
would you write calls?
Yeah, I would write some calls on this. I think that makes some sense.
Okay, thank
you. Juicy premiums, but this is much better than a lot of the other stocks we're looking at, I'll tell you.
Great, thanks.
More questions?
Hey, Fred, how about the BGR?
BGR. You know, God, I almost want to go in. I could go in and buy some of that here. A break of 2250 would imply 21, but if you don't have any of this, I could add a little bit to it. This looks pretty decent. And I noticed, by the way, Ford, which has been trading badly, is actually up on the day here. That may be one of the Dow-type stocks that is going to do well in the second half. I don't think I'd be heavy in it, but if Ford can make it above 1140, you might get 1440 to 15 out of this name.
Thanks, Fred.
More questions?
How about CLH and Qualcomm, QCOM?
Okay. CLH, again, sort of chomping. Sorry?
CLH.
Yes, CLH, Clean Harbors.
Right.
A lot of support between 51 and 48. It could go a little lower, but actually this doesn't look so bad. And Qualcomm, the same thing. It's got some support in here. It doesn't look so bad. The interesting thing about this correction, by the way, and we saw this in the sector review, is a lot of these intermediate term charts are holding support and still holding on fine, especially in the stronger names. It's the weak stuff that's really taking it up the wazoo. Which is a technical term, by the way, was it? any other questions?
Yeah, Fred, how about Soda, SodaStream, S-O-D-A?
S-O-D-A. I would avoid that for two reasons. First of all, it's got 35 areas support, but it's not trading particularly well, and also it's new. We don't know how that's going to act if things get really bad.
Okay.
Sorry,
go ahead.
Could you look at Athena Health, A-T-H-N?
A-T-H-N. That actually, for a healthcare stock, looks pretty darn good. And, you know, support is 60 to 55. It's certainly holding it right now and looking decent. The other one, by the way, in the healthcare space, it came very close this week to 32, which is the price that they bandy about for Bristol-Myers to be bought by, I think it's Sanofi. But given that, Bristol-Myers looks good, and it hit me the other day, one of the reasons it might look good is Europeans that are trying to buy Sanofi might be buying Bristol-Myers as well. Again, some of these stocks don't look nearly as bad as the averages. Guys, I want to make sure that everyone understands that if this European thing gets out of control, it could be really bad. So I would make sure that whatever you do in here, you are using risk management and you know what you're going to do if things do get really, really gnarly. But in the absence of a European blow-up, the market's doing what we want to do, and I do think we can get a nice little bounce from this general area, assuming we don't have complete hoo-ah explosion in Europe.
Should we have bad Europe activity, what would become your downside objective on the spider?
The 92 area is still operative. Again, that's an outlier for me, but if we were to blow up, 92 would be my pretty much maximum downside, and that's why I'm saying let's use some risk management here. If we see in the next week or so sort of up, down, and then a move below 110 on the spider that is retraced above 110, and that happens in early October, that would probably do it for me and suggest that the market's getting ready to have a nice little pop, and maybe that's it for the year. So that would be my ideal scenario. So over and above getting yourself back to a normal risk profile in terms of adding cash, unless I were a maniac aggressive trader, I wouldn't go all in here and say, you know, with today's low as a stop, for example, unless you were willing to get out today on that, for example. But given that, the indicators are suggesting that this may not be as bad as it seems, and I'm obviously dying for Friday and dying to get my updates for Friday. Other questions? Okay, it's almost 11 o'clock. Jeff, any more questions from you? Okay, then let's say going once, going twice. Again, thank you very much for participating. And this will conclude the Fred Report technical market call for September 22nd, 2011.